This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about State Bar of California consumer projects. It's my pleasure to have as my guest Luis Rodriguez, President of the Board of Trustees, the State Bar of California. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, which certifies the following 11 fields of law: appellate law, bankruptcy law, criminal law, estate planning, trust and probate law, family law, franchise and distribution law, immigration and nationality law, taxation law, workers' compensation law, legal malpractice law, and admiralty and maritime law. Additional funding is made possible by the family law section of the State Bar and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Luis, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chuck. It's nice to be back.
Very nice to have you back here, and I am looking forward to doing a third program with you in a few months when you've had a chance to see the fruits of all of your efforts.
Well, thank you.
And I hope there's going to be a lot of fruit.
the planting season has been good.
Good. I'm very pleased to hear that. You are recognized as being the first person of Latin background to become the president of the State Bar. You have been with the Los Angeles Public Defender's Office for, 20 years?
20 years, yes.
Incredible. I'm very pleased that you are here. Let's do this, Luis. I know that you are the chair of the Task Force on Civil Justice Strategies. Is this something that you set up yourself, or was it already in existence?
No, actually, this is something that I set up, Chuck. And it was born out of, and you know this, being criminal justice. We, whether you're a defense attorney or a prosecutor, there's a guarantee that the litigant will have an attorney at his or her side. And going into my tenure as State Bar President, and before that, you know, there's been the concern on the civil side that there is no such affordability for civil litigants. And for me, it was extremely important to do something about that on the civil side.
So what is happening? What progress is being made? Because certainly I am very well aware. Obviously, Gideon versus Wainwright, the Supreme Court case going back 50 years, was the one that guaranteed to a defendant in a criminal case that he or she would have an attorney appointed by the court at the public expense. What progress is being made on trying to get some attorneys or funding for attorneys for either low or moderate income people?
Well, this is what's going on. We formed, as you indicated, the Task Force on Civil Justice Strategies, and there's got two main goals. One of them is to identify what has worked, what hasn't worked, and what role the State Bar can take in addressing the justice gap. And that is the term that refers to the great need of moderate to low-income families for legal representation on the civil side, and the fact that we have 250,000 attorneys in the state, but yet lack of service. So that's what we're dealing with. The other thing that we're dealing through the task force is law student debt, which in my opinion contributes to the inability for many attorneys coming out with great debt to go into public service. So we formed this task force. Today, actually, we had our first meeting. We will be having meetings alternating between Los Angeles, today was in LA, and San Francisco. And the issues that we'll be addressing are, like I said, legal representation in the civil side and student loan debt.
And will for these meetings, obviously, I presume the task force is at this point, in this early point of your meetings, is not going to be inviting the public to be aware, at least when the meeting is ongoing, or am I wrong on that?
Oh, no, you're... I don't want to say you're wrong.
Okay.
These are public meetings.
Okay.
And we're inviting, obviously, whoever's interested in the topic that we'll be discussing. Next month, in April, we'll be up in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and that is our first meeting to discuss legal services on the civil side.
And what, if I may, do you know the date in April at this point, Luis?
I do, and let me
because what I'd like to do is, in that this will be open to the public, I would like to make sure that the audience, your legal rights audience, at least in the Bay Area, is aware of this meeting and that they would be invited to join.
Absolutely. And okay. This is a very important meeting. It's going to be April 30th.
Okay.
And it will be at the State Bar offices at 180 Howard Street in the Embarcadero area.
I will certainly announce this at least a couple of times before the 30th. I'm trying to think for right now. The 30th actually, I think, is going to be on a Wednesday evening.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Well, I'll announce on a couple of my programs before then. And what time do you think the meeting will start? Do you know?
We'll start at 10:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And we'll go to about 3:30 in the afternoon.
3:30, okay, very good. And then you're going to go back. The next meeting will probably be back in L.A., is that right?
That's correct.
And if you will let me know that, keep in touch. I'll keep in touch with your administrative assistant on this. I will also let the audience know that because, as you know, we do distribute this program throughout California. It's live on the Internet. For the full hour, we also distribute the half-hour recorded CDs to a number of stations throughout California. And so there may be people down in Southern California who would like to join you for that.
Oh, great. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So what's the situation? Let the listeners know, if you would, the range of debt that law students are faced with by the time they graduate. Do you have those figures, rough figures, in front of you?
I do. And, you know, it's disheartening when you hear these figures. Students are, after 3-4 years of law school, depending on whether they go full-time or part-time, they're coming out with law school debt anywhere between $100,000 to $200,000.
Oh, my. That's incredible.
Yeah,
it's absolutely incredible. And I remember when I went to law school, which is a long time ago, that I think, Luis, it was something like, and I may be wrong on this, but I think it was something like $600 a year.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was at Loyola Law School in downtown L.A.
Oh, boy.
That's when it was still in the old Spanish building. Yeah, before it got ritzy. I know you went to Santa Clara Law School.
I did.
Yeah,
not too far away from you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Let's move on, unless there's something else on the task force you want to talk about at this point.
Just to emphasize that this is open to the public, Chuck, and that we really want to hear from folks, attorneys, the public at large, as to what they see as the problems, and if folks have ideas, things that they worked on as solutions. So I would invite your listeners to get on the State Bar website, click on to the specific dates, and hopefully see them there.
So in other words, for this first meeting, for the second meeting, which was going to be on April 30th, the Wednesday, in San Francisco at the State Bar, you are welcoming not only people to be there to observe what the task force is doing, but to give input.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's wonderful to hear. If you would, I know one of your major concerns has been immigration fraud, prevention of fraud, et cetera. Relatively recently, a man who was undocumented, an undocumented immigrant who actually had applied for his immigration visa back in, believe it or not, I was astounded at this, in January of 1995. Right. He applied, through his parents, for a visa. He went to high school here. He went to college. He went to law school. He actually passed the state bar exam relatively recently. This matter went up to the California Supreme Court to determine whether or not he should be permitted to practice law in California after all of that. And the California Supreme Court unanimously decided that he should be able to. Would you talk a little bit about Sergio Garcia?
Certainly, Chuck. And that's the person who you were just describing. This is a young man who, for the last almost 20 years now, has been waiting, has gone through the process of legalization to become a resident and a citizen, and has been waiting. So, you know, what he did in the meantime, as we hope any citizen or resident or person living in the United States is contributing to, in a positive way, of course, to society. So he went to college, went to law school, passed the bar the first time, and unfortunately was not admitted initially because there was a legal question as to whether being in the country without documentation, being here illegal, whether that was an act of moral turpitude that would prevent him from receiving a license to practice law. Fortunately, the Supreme Court felt no, it wasn't. It was especially in his case where he was brought here. He was not the one who decided to come into the United States. His parents brought him, and the legal question was this within the power of the Supreme Court to grant him the license? And ultimately, the Supreme Court said, you know, we need a little bit more guidance, and specifically that coming from the legislature. And if we have the authority, we will give him a bar license. And that's exactly what happened. It went back to the legislature. They enacted Assembly Bill 1159, which the governor signed. And at that point, that's when the Supreme Court gave him his license.
And that was also because the state bar had supported the fact that he should be able to practice law. Isn't that correct?
Right. And let me tell you how that all began. Because, and normally people don't hear about who really was the champion in being a trailblazer, and that is a group called, within the state bar, it's a committee. It's called the Committee of Bar Examiners.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the men and women, both attorneys and non-attorneys, who judge the individuals on the moral character side. So even though somebody may have passed the bar exam, they still have to go through the Committee of Bar Examiners. And they took a very bold step in saying this fact that this young man is here without documentation is not an act of moral turpitude. So we're the first state and the only state right now to allow this, but it all goes back to the truly strong step that the Committee of Bar Examiners took.
What I'd like to do, Luis, right now is to take a very brief break.
Absolutely.
This is our Call a Lawyer night. We have a number of attorneys here in areas of workers' compensation. We have landlord-tenant law, employment law, personal injury law, probate, tax law, real estate, trust, wills, patent law, lemon law, aviation law. Tomorrow, you'll be able to talk with Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. And also tomorrow in the afternoon, you'll be able to talk with Jeff Hayden, who is a certified specialist in criminal law. Jeff, this is the first time that Jeff has missed Call a Lawyer night in 10 years. And the reason is he's running for judge in San Mateo County, and there's a presentation tonight. So you'll be able to talk to him tomorrow, and I'll give that phone number later. All right. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guest is Luis Rodriguez. He is the president of the State Bar of California. Luis, I know you have been very concerned about immigration scams and what people are confronted with in terms of, let's say, the use of the word notario. Would you talk a little bit about your concerns and what's going on?
Certainly. You know, what we started getting we were contacted by a number of foreign consulates in Southern California complaining about the fact that their as they refer to them, their co-nationals, were paying money to notarios and attorneys for representation when it came to the Immigration Reform Act work. And it was extremely disturbing because, as we all know, there hasn't been any immigration reform yet. There's been talk in D.C., and so what folks were representing themselves out to immigrant communities, they were basically saying, hey, sign up with me, and I will basically hold your spot in line, and once the Congress and the Senate and the President sign this into law, boom, you're going to get in there right away. As you know this, Chuck, being a prosecutor, it's odd to think that somebody would charge money for a law that doesn't exist. And so at the state bar, we said, you know, we can't let this happen. These folks are a silent community. These folks, unfortunately, they're not using a credit card or pulling out their checkbook. They're paying cold hard cash without any guarantee that anything is going to happen. So at the state bar, we felt we have to be proactive before folks get into major problems.
And so what essentially, I know, Luis, in recent years, I brought a couple of unfair business practice actions, civil actions under the Business and Professions Code against immigration consultants who did not comply with California law, who did not let people know, I am not an attorney, et cetera, et cetera. What specifically has happened now with the state bar pushing this, and I guess probably you are pushing this as the president of the state bar, to actually make a difference? If you find that there is someone out there who is misguiding people, is defrauding people, what specifically is the state bar either doing right now or plans to do?
Well, what we're doing right now is this. Thanks to Assembly Bill 1159, it created two categories of where the state bar can step in. One deals with attorneys, and it says, look, first of all, attorneys can no longer charge any money for any work related to Immigration Reform Act work, which is different and apart, of course, than regular immigration work.
Sure.
And if they had charged money, that money must be put into a trust account.
Mm-hmm.
And the money cannot be touched when and until there is actual legislation enacting immigration reform.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's just to the attorneys. As to non-attorneys, whether it's legal document preparer or notarios, well, first of all, the use of the term notario is no longer permitted.
In California,
exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And on with those individuals, it gave the state bar the authority to go in there and literally close shop.
That's wonderful.
And take whatever records these individuals have and try to make the victims whole.
That's outstanding. And does the state bar under that setup, is it able to bring, under the name of the State Bar of California, an actual action against the person or persons who are doing this?
That's correct.
Ah.
And it's not a criminal action, as you know. It's
civil.
It's a civil action where fines accumulate every day for a violation. And so we're able to go to court, we get an order, we close their shop, and the fines start adding up for the days that they're in violation of this legislation.
I am very pleased to hear that. I know there is also another task force, I believe, although it's a committee, Unauthorized Practice of Law Oversight Committee. What is that doing?
Now, that's a different, to a certain degree, it has to do with the work on immigration fraud prevention, but it's broader in that deals with anybody. And, you know, we have attorneys who've been suspended, who've been disbarred, are no longer authorized to practice law, which is, of course, the term unauthorized practice of law. And then we have other professionals or paraprofessionals who put themselves out there giving legal advice. So what the Unauthorized Practice of Law Oversight Committee is doing is that it will receive complaints, not from attorneys, because we're always concerned with unfair competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, an attorney calling against another attorney for whatever reason, and as a state agency, we do not want to serve as a protective arm of the profession, rather an oversight of inappropriate behavior. So the complaints will come from the consumers, saying, hey, you know what, I went to this person, turns out this person's not an attorney, or I looked him or her up at the state bar website and they're suspended. And that's when we go in, and separate from the discipline system, and in a similar fashion, there's laws on the book that give us the authority to close shop and refer the cases to the city attorney, to the DA, or to the state attorney general for further action.
So, in other words, there is now a team to investigate these kinds of situations and then refer it either to the local city attorney, the district attorney's office, or the attorney general. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Yeah, I remember when I was doing this situation with respect to the unauthorized practice of law, and I wanted to see if the state bar would do something, and this goes back a few years ago. They were not getting involved in any kind of investigation at all, which I was very disappointed with. And I'm now very pleased to hear that there is an active role that the state bar is playing in this.
Well, you know what, and thank you for that comment, Chuck, because, look, we are very proud of our profession, and we hold it in high esteem, regardless of what other folks may say. And in order to maintain that, we have to make sure that folks are not being victimized, the folks who are most likely not to say anything. And this gives them an opportunity to have some protection. And you saw it firsthand, the inactivity, unfortunately, years past by the state bar.
Well, I'm very pleased that there has been this kind of progress. Let's take another very brief break. It's our Call a Lawyer night. I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at one of the attorneys who's on the phone, and I'm very pleased that he is on the phone for workers' comp. We have a number of areas of the law that I invite you to call in on and talk with my Call a Lawyer lawyers. It's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917 if you'd like to talk to them. No obligation on your part. This is a great public service that these attorneys are doing for you and have. Many of them have done this for a number of years. If you would like to speak with my guest, Luis Rodriguez, on the air, here's our number, which I'll be taking calls from you in just a couple of minutes. It's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. All right. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. My guest is Luis Rodriguez, President of the Board of Trustees, the State Bar of California. And we're talking about some of the things that the State Bar is doing that, frankly, I am very pleased that it is doing, and new things. And I think Luis should take quite a bit of credit for this kind of approach. For those of you who don't know who he is, for about the last 20 years, he has been with the Los Angeles County Public Defender's Office. He's now a division chief. He is the first Latino person to become president of the State Bar of California. He's been very active in his career as an attorney and as a person in doing some very important things for the public. And so now he has this position as a state bar president and is really working on some very important projects here. Luis, what's the situation with court funding? You know, not too long ago, for example, I know San Francisco and even in my county, San Mateo County, San Francisco lost several superior courts. My county recently lost four commissioners out of six, as I recall. We had a number of clerks for the Superior Court who lost their jobs, both in San Francisco and San Mateo County. What do you see happening, if anything, that is positive?
Well, this is what happened, Chuck. For a while there, unfortunately, our elected officials in Sacramento didn't see right away the negative impact that cuts to the court would have to the community. And what, as you indicated, courts closed, courthouses closed, and that has a direct and negative impact on the surrounding community, which are, at the end of the day, constituents of the legislators. Well, the legislators finally said, hey, you know what, this is not good. It's affecting the way we do business here in Sacramento. We're passing laws, but what good does it do if we don't have a venue to enforce those laws? So now the conversation has changed. There won't be any more budget cuts, and the discussion has shifted to now how much money does the court need and how much will it receive. Presently, the governor has outlined $105 million for the court, which sounds great, and trust me, it is greatly appreciated. But there's still a gap. according to the Chief Justice of the state of California, Tony Cantil Sakaui, in order just to stay afloat, just to maintain the court, and by the court I mean statewide, the court needs $266 million.
Ooh, wow.
So we're still short, wow. You know, as you can see, $161 million. And the positive thing is that the legislature has been very involved in opening up this discussion with the Chief Justice and a number of bar associations and active attorneys such as yourself and folks who volunteer as they do tonight, and listening to why we need that money. So the positive thing is money is there, but we need to go a little bit farther to make sure that justice, whether it's civil or criminal, is preserved.
This is very good. You know, I hope that you are able to join us in the studio for a third time a little bit later this year while you're still president of the State Bar, because I'd love to have you in the studio here. So we'll have to keep in touch on that.
We will, definitely.
What I'd like to do, Luis, right now is let people know if they'd like to get free pamphlets, they can get them from the Board of Legal Specialization or directly from the State Bar. Let me give you a couple of websites for this, if you'd like to have it, and some phone numbers. If you're looking for free pamphlets, the Board of Legal Specialization, you can call 415-538-2100, 415-538-2100. And to find out who the both for pamphlets and to find out who the legal specialists are, you can go to www.calbar.ca.gov and go to Legal Specialists. Also, the State Bar itself has a number of very fine pamphlets, and you can either call 415-538-2280, 415-538-2280, or go to the State Bar's website, which I just gave, which is www.calbar.ca.gov. What we're going to do is, for those of you who listen to us live, we will continue live in the Bay Area. We will continue live on the internet at www.kalw.org. It is about 7:28 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station, KALW in San Francisco. My guest is State Bar President Luis Rodriguez. I'd like to invite you to call in, ask a question, make a comment, have a chance to talk with the State Bar President. The number is 1-415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. Let me also, while you are thinking if you want to call in, and don't be bashful, by the way, and please, if you're going to call in, don't wait until 7:56. That's going to be too late. Let me tell you who we have here, and then Martin, who helps me, my assistant producer, let me know who has not shown up. For workers' compensation law, we have certified specialist Robert Wyman. By the way, for criminal law, Jeff Hayden is not here. I mentioned that he was not here tonight because he's running for judge in San Mateo County. He will be available tomorrow afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. That's Thursday, 2 to 4 p.m. Here's his number if you'd like to call him. He will expect you to call if you'd like, 650-368-5700, 650-368-5700. That's between 2 to 4 tomorrow. We have landlord-tenant law, Dan Sterrett, S-T-E-R-R-E-T-T. It's his first time here. He's a San Francisco attorney, and he's here for landlord-tenant law. For employment law, personal injury and probate is Bruce Bernstein, who's been with us many times before. For tax law, real estate, trusts, and wills, we have Frank Adam, who's been doing this for a number of years. For patent law, aviation law, lemon law, arbitration, Ron Rohde, who's been doing this for several years. And by the way, let me find out, is Janet Lee Frankel here for family law? Oh, she is. And Janet Lee Frankel is here for family law. She's a certified specialist in family law. She's here. She's been doing this for several years. And finally, if you're being hounded by your creditors and you're thinking, gee, do I really want to go into bankruptcy or not? Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, is available to you tomorrow, Thursday, March 27th, from 8 a.m. to noon. His number is 1-800 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. If you call either by the way, Jeff Hayden's number or Leon Bear's number, and you get voicemail, leave your name and phone number and say, I listen to your legal rights and that's why I'm calling. And they'll call you back. No obligation on your part whatsoever. This is just a great service they are doing. So let's see. We have Luis Rodriguez. We have someone who'd like to talk to you. Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening, guys. Hopefully you guys are having a good evening.
I think we are so far, anyway.
Okay. I have two situations. The first situation I want to mention was a past experience, and that's with the USCIS immigration. I know you guys were talking some stuff on that.
Yes.
And I also have another situation with civil procedures with process servers in the Bay Area, mainly in San Francisco.
Uh-huh. Well, let's start with your, Jeremiah, let's start with your question about the immigration, in the immigration area.
My question was, I'm from the Caribbean, by the way, and I came here in 2000, and I was in removal proceedings, I guess in 2001, ever since then. And I didn't update none of that to, you know, try to fix myself until quite recently, you know, when I was trying to fix my life. And long story short, I was placed under some sort of investigation. I had the immigration officer just show up at my house without, you know, I didn't even know they was going to show up one early morning. And, you know, they tell me I have the right to have my lawyer there, and he explained to me if I do choose to have my lawyer there and present, just because it's going to take her forever to arrive, that would be a denial of whatever interview they're doing.
Hmm.
which is kind of weird, because what's the purpose of having me, you know, request my lawyer if you know you're going to deny me? So in that case, I tell him, well, just go ahead and proceed. That's one. Second thing, after all of this, all this investigation they put me through, keep in mind, I've never been arrested. I have a clean criminal record. I cannot tell you how a prison bar is, other than when I volunteer at the prison in my past life. Moving on forward, after that situation, everything was approved. Next, I hear from USCIS saying that, we want you to tell us about your background.
Let me, Jeremiah, do this. There are other people who'd like to talk to President Rodriguez. What is your question, if you would?
My question I'm trying to figure out is, under what authority do USCIS have to request a person's background? Like, for a simple example, people who's from different part of the world and, you know, part of the different countries and stuff. I'm from Belize, which we all know is under the West Indies law.
Jeremiah, let me ask you this. Do you have a green card here now?
Yes, I do now.
So you are here legally. Did you get the help of a lawyer?
Yes, I had paid for a lawyer. I had a lawyer.
Did you? Okay. And Luis, do you have any response to Jeremiah's question as to what the authority of these federal government people had to look into his background?
No, you know, I unfortunately don't, because that would mean for you, Jeremiah, to consult with your immigration attorney, who would be able to give you. The only thing that I could refer you, and this is what Chuck and I are talking about, is if you feel that you've been defrauded or misled by an attorney, or you went to a non-attorney and they gave you any legal advice. Otherwise, you know, I can't sit here and give you legal advice as to immigration.
Sure. Immigration law is terribly complicated, and that's why I'm a real pusher of people seeking the help of certified specialists in immigration law. Let's, if you would, Jeremiah, briefly, if you don't mind, what is your second question?
My second question was on civil procedures. I'm a 1099 private, a civil process server.
You are personally a process server. Okay.
Yes. And I'm registered and bonded in the city and county of San Francisco.
Yes.
And I've had numerous experience with San Francisco police officers. You know, sometimes when you go to serve someone, that person will wind up calling the cops, or they don't know who you are. The cop would show up. I'm not gonna, you know, I just recruit the cops. Sometimes they're nice. Sometimes they come with this rage. I've had one experience where San Francisco police officer literally came and threw me on the ground. Keep in mind, all I have is a legal document in my hand, dressed in a nice black suit, and they, you know, a whole jeep load of cops, you know, came and you know, start talking a lot of negative stuff about the San Francisco ID that was given by the city and county with the seal and everything, or they don't have no way to validate that.
You know, Jeremiah, if I may, and then Luis, you may have some comment about this. If I may suggest this to you, in a situation like this, with what you are being confronted with, number one, I would want to file a complaint with the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, or maybe even the Attorney General's Office on this. I would also want to contact the American Civil Liberties Union, because if the police are being abusive, as you describe, assuming that you're telling us the actual facts, that's what I think should be done. You know, we're getting a great kind of problem. Are you driving a car or something?
Well, actually, I'm out, and it's just very windy over here.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. Let me get some comments. Turn your radio back up. Let me get some comments if President Rodriguez has anything to further comment on with respect to this. All right. Stay with us then. Luis, do you have any comments for Jeremiah on the second part?
One last comment.
Yeah.
And you talked about a majority. I would also recommend that he file a complaint with the police department, if he
I agree with that. I agree with that. Yes, I think that should be done, Jeremiah. You have not done that?
I mean, if I can explain, so my experience.
No. We don't want to go into a lot of explanation. Have you filed a complaint with the police department or not?
Yes, I have. I have. To the police department. I spoke to the lieutenant there.
Okay.
And they did say the officers acted of character. I filed with the OCC, which when the officers were in act doing what they're doing, I informed them that's what I was going to do.
Okay.
You know, the officers declined to give me his badge number and all that stuff.
That's really helpful.
And the lieutenant was aware of the call, because they have the thing where they can go back and check the call that day.
Yeah.
So they were all aware of what's going on. But he sent me file with OCC. OCC did nothing.
Well, I'm sorry. For the rest of us, what does OCC stand for?
The citizen Office of Citizen Complaint.
Okay, for the city of San Francisco.
Yes, for
okay.
The city of San Francisco.
Hold on a minute. I want to let people know that we're doing Call a Lawyer Night. By the way, everybody, if you have a question for Off the Air in the variety of topics that I had mentioned, whether it's workers' compensation, family law, landlord-tenant, employment law, personal injury, probate, tax law, trust, wills, real estate, patent law, aviation law, lemon law, the number is 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. If you'd like to talk with President Luis Rodriguez of the State Bar of California, the number is 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. And Jeremiah, your last question or comment, please.
My last comment, I was saying that I was also at one different instant charged and placed under arrest by, again, another San Francisco police officer in the Chinatown district. I was charged for trespassing with an address where I have a legal document to serve. And, you know, I was just going through this, you know, for a long time until the court date came and it was dismissed.
Yeah.
And, the district attorney apologized. Oh, I'm so sorry, that was a rookie cop. Well, that don't fix it.
No.
There's other process servers that's going through the same situation. How do you fix it?
Well, here's what I would suggest also, again, and Luis, you may have some other suggestions, but I think with this experience that you have described that happened to you with respect to being arrested by a police officer, I think this is something that you should make a complaint, certainly to the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. Let them look into it. And if they are not responsive to this, then I think you should also file a complaint with the Attorney General's office. You know, a main office is in San Francisco. And this is something, if this is abusive conduct, agencies or offices such as the DA's office or the Attorney General's office should respond positively. So good luck to you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, take care. Take care. And continue to be aggressive on this in terms of trying to get help from the various government offices. And thank you for calling. Louise, do you have any further comments for Jeremiah?
No, I think you hit it on. Thank you, Chuck.
Let me do this. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. For a referral to a lawyer, you can call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referrals service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area of law that you're concerned about. They'll set you up with a half an hour consultation. And nearly every county lawyer referral service throughout California has a scale for half an hour consultation of either a low of $25 or a high of $35. It's an outstanding service that's available to you. And frankly, Jeremiah, with respect to what you have talked to with us about, I think it would have been a very good idea for you to contact the San Francisco Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and sit down with a criminal law attorney who might be able to give you some pointers on this, frankly, for a half an hour consultation. And if you wish tomorrow, if you wish to talk to someone who I have great regard for, and that's Jeff Hayden, a certified specialist in criminal law, he'll be available tomorrow afternoon at his office between 2 and 4, and you can call him at 650-368-5700, 650-368-5700. And we're going to have somebody else on the air to talk with Luis Rodriguez, president of the State Bar of California, in just a minute. For those of you who are being hounded by creditors, Leon Baer will be available tomorrow afternoon. He's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. Tomorrow, Thursday, March 27th, from 8 a.m. to noon. His number, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. For both of these specialists, should you get their voicemail, leave your name and phone number, they will call you back. No obligation on your part whatsoever. This is just a very, very major service that these attorneys are performing for you, members of the public. Janet, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Hi, Janet, you're on the air.
I just wanted to ask what I can do about a lawyer. I went to see the lawyer, said, I need a spare key from my landlord who won't give it to me, and I don't want to go to the rent board because I haven't got time. All I want is the spare key.
Okay, what I'm going to suggest to you, this is not a topic that I am familiar with, and I doubt that President Rodriguez is either. I would suggest you call the 800 number. And do you have a pencil handy, Janet?
No.
You don't have anything to write with?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm in my car.
Oh, you are in your car. All right. If you can remember this number, I want you to call 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917, ask to speak to Dan.
Thank you.
Dan is the landlord tenant attorney who's here, and he should be able to give you some pointers. Okay.
It's not about that. It's about the lawyer himself.
All right. Well, you didn't explain this very well. What do you mean about the lawyer himself? Go ahead. What did he do?
Well, I just said I wanted those two things. And
yes.
Could he do that for me? He said yes. And two letters later, he got neither a key for me, nor had he saved me from the rent board. He simply, and he charged me $900.
Okay.
Well, then, Janet, sorry to interrupt, Chuck.
Go ahead.
What you need to do, Janet, is when you get home, if you have access to the internet, get on the website, which is the California State Bar, and then there, when you get on the website, there's a link on the left-hand side that says complaints against attorneys. You hit the link, and it'll give you a number that you can call, and somebody will take your complaint, and they'll assign it to an investigator within the state bar who will get more information from you in detail to help you out, okay? And also, so you know, and this is, I don't think we've discussed this before, Chuck, the state bar has something that is called the Client Security Fund, which what that means is, you know, out of our yearly dues that we pay for our license, a certain percentage goes to this fund. And what it does is that whenever there's a complaint against an attorney and it's determined that the attorney failed in his or her duties to the client, whatever amount the client paid to the attorney will be fully reimbursed. So, Janet, if, for in fact, you go, you file a complaint with the state bar determines that what your attorney did was inappropriate, didn't follow through with his or her duties, you will get your $900, okay? You don't have to go to court to get that money. Instead, the state bar will fully reimburse that money for you. So I strongly recommend that when you get home, get on the internet and click on that link, and it will give you all the details that you need to be able to file a complaint.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, Janet. Sorry I misunderstood your question initially. Good luck to you. This should be a very helpful procedure for you to go through. So good luck. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. All right, if you'd like to talk with President of the State Bar, Luis Rodriguez, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you'd like to talk with any of our attorneys off the air on the 800 number, it's 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Let me thank the attorneys who have been here to talk with you off the air. Robert Wyman, Workers' Compensation. Janet Lee Frankel, Family Law. Daniel Sterrett, Landlord-Tenant Law. For Employment Law, Personal Injury Probate, Bruce Bernstein. For Tax Law, Real Estate, Trust and Wills, Frank Adam. For Patent Law, Aviation, Lemon Law, Arbitration, Ron Rohde. And again, Jeff Hayden will take calls tomorrow afternoon on Criminal Law from 2 to 4 p.m., 650-368-5700. And tomorrow for Bankruptcy Law, Leon Baer will take calls from you between 8 a.m. and noon, 1-800-477-3111. Also, I want to let you know what's going on tomorrow night. And those of you who have immigration questions, this might be very helpful to you. The San Mateo County Law Library down in Redwood City, tomorrow evening, that's Thursday, March 27th at 6 p.m., we'll have a presentation entitled Immigration 101, Know Your Rights as an Immigrant. This is presented by the Catholic Charities CYO's Refugee and Immigration Services staff. It starts at 6 o'clock. You're invited to come. It is a free presentation. This is something sponsored by the San Mateo County Law Library. It is at 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City, 710 Hamilton Street, Redwood City. If you'd like some more information, that number, phone number, 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913, and that again is for the presentation, Immigration 101, Know Your Rights as an Immigrant. We've got Leah. Leah, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi there.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So my question is, I have a daughter who is a junior in high school, and she is thinking about studying law. What do you guys think about going into the law profession at this point?
And she is what age, Leah?
She is 17.
Why is it that she wants to go into the law? What has motivated her for that?
Well, I am not really sure. I think she wants to have a solid profession that she can make some income in and pay off her student loans, hopefully.
How's she doing in school?
Very well.
Okay. And where? What city does she go to? She goes to high school. What high school?
Berkeley High.
Oh, Berkeley High. So you're over in Berkeley. All right. Luis, what comments do you have for a young woman, 17 years of age, who's thinking, gee, I'd like to go to law school. I'd like to be a lawyer.
You know, there's a couple of resources, Chuck and Janet, that she can take advantage of. One is go to the Alameda County Bar Association, and many of the bar associations have mentorship programs, usually for law students. But I can bet you that more than one attorney would be willing to sit down with her and talk to her about really, you know, what is it that attracts her to the law, and then she can have a better idea whether that's what she wants to pursue or not.
That's a terrific suggestion. And Leah, here, if you're, do you have something to write with?
Yes, I do.
Here's the Alameda County Bar Association number, 510, okay. Of course, 302-2222.
Thank you.
I think that's a very, it's an excellent idea, and I would certainly recommend and agree with Luis that this is the thing that she should do.
And if I can ask one more thing, what is the job market like these days?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But, you know, here, Leah, has your daughter ever listened to your legal rights?
I'm not sure.
Well, then I think you need to tell her. You know, if she's really interested in the law, I've been doing it. This is the 31st year I've been doing this.
Wonderful.
And I'm I'm in my 30th year as a deputy DA for San Mateo County in consumer protection. And so if your daughter has a real interest in the law, every Wednesday night, I do a program on some different area of the law. I will have really very well-experienced attorneys, and this will give her a chance to hear what attorneys are saying and also what the public is asking. So if she's really seriously interested, I would recommend that you encourage her to listen to the program.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's a natural, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Give her my best, okay?
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Luis, we have a few minutes left, not too many, and I'm wondering what areas. I know you have two young daughters.
I do.
And you are a real advocate of women's rights, and I think Leah's question really kind of opens the door on that. What comments do you have with regard to women's rights?
You know what? Talk about a learning experience. I grew up with all boys, and of course, was given the great gift of being the father of two girls. And what I've learned is this, is that despite all the advances that we have had in our society up to this date, women still are at a disadvantage at the job market and many times in the educational system. So it's extremely important for men and women to be supportive of programs that give young women that extra support that helps them feel a little bit more self-confident about what they can pursue as far as a career. You know, we talked about these mentorship programs, and they start as far back as in high school. So I always advocate for young girls to go out there and seek these mentorship programs and start thinking about a career once they're in high school. And Janet's girl is a perfect example. You know, she's not even in college. She's already thinking about college. Law school. So she's steps ahead of everybody. So I always go out there and I encourage young girls, young women to get involved in mentorship programs.
Yeah.
Because there's dedicated individuals like yourself and the attorneys who are volunteering today who are more than willing to share their experiences.
And Leah, let me mention one other thing that I would like you to consider for your daughter, and you to also join me. I am very willing to have you and your daughter come to KALW to sit in on my preparation with my guest or guests for a radio program. And this will give your daughter an opportunity to see, of course, how public radio works, how this radio program works, but also to kind of get a real feel for what's going on in terms of what attorneys are doing and how that translates on public radio. So if you want to do that and bring your daughter in, and both of you come here from Berkeley to San Francisco, Burton High School, you call the station, get my phone number from the station, from KLW, and then call me, and we'll arrange to do that. So I hope this is something that you feel would be worthwhile for you and your daughter to do. I certainly urge you to do that. For those of you, we still have a few minutes for Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Let me remind you all that the next meeting of the Task Force on Civil Justice Strategies that deals with trying to accomplish attorneys for low and moderate income people who can't afford attorneys. That next meeting will take place at the State Bar Office in San Francisco on April 30th from 10:30 to 3:30 p.m. President Luis Rodriguez will be there with other members of the task force. You are invited to attend. You are invited to contribute. And Luis, we have about a minute and a half. What final comments do you have for everybody?
Well, I want to say this, Chuck, and we've been talking about a lot of stuff with the State Bar, but I really want to thank you for everything that you're doing, because this is the perfect example of why I'm so proud to be an attorney and enjoy the added value of being such a professional. And it's because of folks like you and the people who you bring together to provide that extra help for folks who otherwise wouldn't have that opportunity. So more than anything, I want to thank you and all the volunteers that you bring to your station.
Well, I thank you very much for that very nice comment. I am a consumer advocate. I am a great believer in public radio, and putting together my consumer advocacy and public radio, to me, gives me incredible satisfaction. Luis, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck.
Great having you on the program. I hope you can come back here in a few months. Luis Rodriguez.
I will be there. Thank
wonderful.
You.
Luis Rodriguez is the president of the Board of Trustees, the State Bar of California. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chuck.
Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. If you are in the midst of an employment law lawsuit, or think it may happen, join us next week when we'll be talking about the value of mediation in trying to settle these cases and disputes. My guest will be a very well-respected attorney, employment law attorney, Mark Rudy, who is also a mediator. So join us next week if you would. Thanks for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Thank you.